started out as lying just to fit in. Over time, the line came to life that I was living. I was always hiding my intentions, never understanding all that I was truly missing. But now I think I get it, got a better grip, I'm finally liking where I'm headed. Yeah, I think I finally have accepted myself for who I am. It feels the best when you're authentic.
Self podcast, a place where we explore hip-hop and what it means to be our authentic self. I'm your host, Adam Sr. On today's episode, I'm speaking to the artist 1AM. I heard of 1AM on a featured track with past guests of the podcast, Senior Gigio. Right when I heard her, I knew I needed to hear more, and I am so glad I did. She really has an amazing catalog of music and is just a tremendous artist. We spoke prior to her latest album, which is now out, called Window Side B, which we speak more about on today's episode. This is such a great interview and conversation that I am really excited to share. So now, without further ado, 1AM, welcome to the show.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so grateful to have you on today. And the first question I ask everyone that comes on the show is just, when do you feel like your most authentic self?
Yes, I have kind of two moments where I feel my most authentic self is either when I'm alone listening to music or, you know, just, I guess, listening to any music that I like in general, just being able to sing to it, or being out in nature. I really enjoy just being outside. So those two places for sure.
Yeah, when you're listening to other people's music or out in nature, is that with the intention to kind of like inspire the music you're working on?
Not necessarily. I guess just listening to something other than my own thoughts, I guess. Just sometimes, like, it's nice to just, I'm a thinker, so sometimes it's nice to just like quiet my mind and just like feel other people's energies and feel other people's stories. So, yeah.
Sure. I can definitely get a sense from that, from your music, that you are a thinker.
Yeah.
That one thing I noticed, it's just like, I feel like you contemplate a lot. Like, it seems like you really learn a lot about life, and then you kind of put that into your music. I first heard you on after I interviewed Senior Gigio, who I had on the podcast, and you were on a song. You guys did a song together called Duffel Bag. And right off the bat, when I heard you spit, I was just like, okay, this is someone that gets hip hop history and really like loves the craft. And so I just kept exploring your music, and I was just blown away. And so I want to get a sense of just kind of like where it all started for you. I was, you know, looking at your bio, and I see your journey in hip hop kind of started as a breakdancer.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of going a little bit further back than that too, just being exposed to music, like my brother would sing a lot. He would sing like Destiny's Child, and he'd always have the radio playing. My mom's all into that, like, the old writer music, you know. So, I mean, that, and then leading into being exposed to breakdancing, that opened me up to like a whole new world of like the culture of hip hop and just like music in general. And just that's kind of like the start of it. And then, like, from that experience, like learning all the different elements of hip hop, that's also what like led me down this path of music and expression. I started like writing poetry and stuff, and I never really thought about like actually rapping. Like, I would write maybe singy songs, but it wasn't until like listening to Missy Elliott that I'm like, damn, this would be so fun to just spit, you know? And I remember like writing basically like matching the flow and just putting my own words to her flow. to one of her beats, and then just kind of from that experience, and I was like, ooh, I like this. I'll maybe just keep doing it. I just want to keep doing it. So yeah, now I'm here just continuing all everything that just inspires me, I guess. And the only way for me to like do it is just like speaking it, you know, singing it.
Yeah. So you mentioned like you started kind of with poetry. So when you're writing songs now, are you hearing the music first, or are you kind of writing out the topic first, writing down the emotions first, writing down the rhymes first? What kind of comes first for you in your process?
It used to be where I would just write, write to write, and then like hopefully find a beat that would inspire a song. But coming into like, as I'm progressing and stuff, like for Window, which is an album that I changed up my writing style, was where I went back to that, where just writing to write and then building an actual beat around that versus like trying to find it, you know what I mean? But I try not to think about the process. I try to kind of just let it flow. And if it happens to become a song, it becomes a song. If it happens to just be something in my notebook, then I just let it be, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, you mentioned Window, which was, you just put that out this year along with Winter Heat, right?
Oh, that was 2020 actually. Yeah.
Or sorry. Yeah. It feels like it just,
right?
This
it's
year
a blur.
Just feels like an extension of, yeah. So last year, rather. So then you're saying the albums before you that was, you were listening to the beats and writing to that.
Yeah, so I would have a feeling or a kind of sense of where I want to take it, and then I would just search like on YouTube for beats and just try to find something to replicate and continue that idea or that vibe.
Yeah. So what inspired kind of that change after the albums before that? Like what made you kind of want to go back to that, just write like kind of writing and building the beat?
Yeah. I guess it's a mixture of kind of questioning myself as an artist and as just a creative. Also like looking up to other artists that are songwriters. And I'm like, wow, like it's just more, I wanted to be more than just a rapper. I wanted to be more than just something labeled like in a box. Like, so that's why I was like, damn, I really enjoy writing. I've always enjoyed creative writing. So I'm just like, let me get back to that and be more authentic with myself, you know, especially for that album.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so just looking at in your room right now, I see the Mac Miller poster. I have the Mac Miller poster behind me as well. He was a huge influence in my life. And like listening to your whole music, I, you know, there was a Mac Miller reference. And I was like, if I had to equate any artist, to me, it was Mac Miller, like, and in the sense of just the feeling I got from it, which was that he loves the craft and he's being authentically him. I got that sense, you know, like from your first, or I guess, what was it, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt like you had that from there, and then it just keeps getting better over time. So was he a big influence in that way to you?
Yeah, it's funny because like I love Mac Miller, but a lot of his like older music I never really like related to, just because of some of the topics. I didn't really want to like listen to that specific thing he would talk about, especially like drugs and stuff. But I guess just him as like an artist and him as a person, that's what I really like loved about him. He was just be himself, and that's all you got, you know what I mean? Like it was just pure honesty, even if it was ugly. It was just truth, even though it was ugly or beautiful, whatever, you know. But yeah, just him as like a creative too. Like I just thought he's just one of those people that I'm like, wow, like very unique. So yeah, that's why I'm like, I love Mac, and I'm really sad about what happened, but you know, it lives on through us listeners and us fans, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. I also heard there was a Russ reference as well in one of your songs. So it just seems like kind of these like very authentic, independent artists that like really have a grip on their sound and who they are, you know, and it's like, that's what you navigate towards. And that's what you're presenting through your music. So just, you know, real quick, thank you for providing that, you know, for the people listening. I did, you mentioned like you weren't really attracted to, you know, like kind of, I guess the more negative side maybe of Mac Miller. In reading your bio and listening to your music, I think you portrayed it perfectly in your bio saying, you have a strong faith in a broken world. And I feel like almost all of your songs, they kind of have this like, almost not all of them, but contextually, I think they have this kind of like struggle and then this resolve to it. Is that intentional? Like in terms, is that how you're processing it? Or do you feel like that's needed kind of as a songwriter, like to inspire hope for other people?
I guess that's a good question. That's a damn good question. Well, I mean, like when I'm writing, I guess I'm kind of like talking to myself in a way, and it's kind of like the outcome of it is helpful to other people. You know what I mean? Like when I actually like really first started writing, it was just like me like talking to myself, trying to figure out, okay, this is what I'm going through and where's the light in it? Where's the solution? Where's, you know, what's coming from this, you know? So it's like, I guess it's unintentional, but it just happens to be that way. And like, it's a blessing and it's like a weird gift. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that's kind of like what therapy is, right? It's like having this problem and then finding like, you know, where can I fix it? Where can I heal this? You know, and I do think it's interesting to me, like in hip hop, you know, like the Little Peeps, you know, rest in peace. He was one of my favorite artists, but like, you know, all the songs were like very depressing. I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast too. It does seem like there's this realm of like self-help type rap that almost can come off as like corny, because it's like, it's almost like in a sense preachy. Like I, you know, like I know the way to live, listen to me. But like what I love about your music is like, I don't get that sense from you at all. It's like, it's very therapeutic. So I think it's like, do you think about that when you're writing? Like, is this too much? Like, do I need to kind of strip it back, look for another creative way to say this? Like, how much thought goes into saying what you want to say, but then creating like a new way to say it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that kind of ties into like the poetry thing. It's kind of like a weird struggle for me too, because like I grew up like listening to like Eminem too, and I always loved how like so blunt he was. He would just straight say it. So like when I adopted that kind of style into my writing, and then kind of conflicting with the poetry thing, you know, it's like, how do I find that balance without giving too much information away about myself or my personal, and being able to relate it to other people so that it's helpful to them in their unique situation, you know? So I do think about that sometimes when I'm trying to tackle something I want to write. Yeah, it's definitely like a weird struggle that I do go through, but I do try to think about that too.
Yeah. What did you go to college for initially?
Yeah, so I actually did go to college first for music. Okay. But I wasn't trying to be like a crazy artist or anything. I was actually trying to just go to be something in the studio. You know what I mean? That was what interested me. And then college proved to be very expensive, especially for that particular thing. So I had changed my major to communications, which I thought was kind of like a nice little general pocket, and digital media. So those two I do have my degrees in. And then kind of as I grew older, I'm like, damn, I really want to pursue music. So I'm just going to go ahead and get my AA in music. So that's what I'm currently doing right now.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Do you feel like, though, your initial major in, you said it was in communications?
Mm-hmm.
Because I look back, I was a sports management major, which I'm not using at all. and it's like, but like, there's a lot of things I took away and just like, you know, like the professionalism, you know, in certain in the classes, like how to write an email, how to like conduct an interview. There's a lot of things I took away that I feel like only are helping me better now in life, like now, like, and I feel like there's a lot of these past things we do that maybe we're not like passionate about, but that help us later in life. Do you take away like moments from there that like kind of like contribute to your journey now?
Oh yeah. I know like for sure I don't remember super specific things from communications, but I do know that like within me, I can feel when I'm interacting with other people that I'm more like aware of how to act and how to be, because I've always been kind of like awkward and a little social awkward, a little bit antisocial. So I feel like that has helped me with that. And like going to the other major for digital media, that's helped me be more open-minded and be more creative, not just being stuck to like a small box. Like a lot of things are possible with digital media. So both of those have helped me like coming into music, especially like being independent. So yeah, I would definitely have a lot to take away from those. And I'm glad that even though that wasn't what I wanted, it still helped me in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like communications particularly is maybe like the best major to major in if you don't know what you want to do necessarily.
Yeah.
So then deciding to you're in school now for what, music technology?
Mm-hmm.
And how has that been helping your music now?
I don't know. It's kind of a little bit in the air for me. Sometimes I feel like, because I'm kind of self-taught, so sometimes I feel like, wow, I've already learned this. This is boring. But then I try not to think that way so that I can learn some new stuff. And I have learned a lot of new things. The main thing that I really still want to continue pursuing music, like I think I'm still going to continue my education in music, but I want to learn how to be in a like a professional studio versus a home studio. But I mean, I'm still learning like a lot of important things regarding you know, having my own studio, but I feel like there's still more to learn. There's always still more to learn, you know.
Yeah, particularly in music. I've been thinking about enrolling in a program myself. And my first thought was like, oh, like what if I get stagnant and like stop getting like the right, you know, plugins, or it's just like, but I do think there's the benefit of a home studio is like you have to work with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's definitely nice to know the industry standard as well, you know, when I guess wanting to help other people.
Yeah.
Do you see the work you're doing, I guess, in the professional studio, is that with the intention to kind of like help other artists along the way, or is this more, you know, just make your music the best it can be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say this, but sometimes I feel like it is like, I feel super comfortable in my home studio, regardless of how like non-professional stuff I have. But as far as like being in a professional studio, I think I get more excited of like artist development and like the whole production of a song. So I guess that's what really excites me. That's what I want to pursue more. But I do realize like it's possible without being in a crazy professional studio. Like sometimes just a bedroom studio is enough to create a vibe in a more comfort zone versus, you know, so it's kind of back and forth for me, but yeah.
Yeah. What's been your favorite maybe studio experience or song experience, whether it was like one that was a struggle, then you just kind of like, it was like that aha moment. Like, do you have a memory of just like, oh, like when I think about that, when I go back to this song, like this is maybe my favorite memory of like working on a song.
Maybe like overthinking, like the plugin thing. Like I would always think like I need to buy like a new plugin, or I need a new VST to get this sound and stuff like that. But I guess just experimenting and being able to experiment with just what you have, that's kind of been something that has helped me get over that struggle of thinking, like, trying to like get me out of that creative block. Is just like, okay, I have this, let me just tweak it and try to make it sound what I think I want, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I do feel like when you're working with like what all you have, you know, like when I started this podcast, all I had was just like iPhone or, you know, like iTunes headphones, mm-hmm. or, you know, like the Apple headphones. And then I put out the first episode, and a friend of mine was like, hey man, like you should get like a real microphone. And I was like, dope, like which one? And I was like, let me just get the easiest one. And I was like, working with what you have just forces you to be more creative, I think, versus having like everything you possibly need. And I think, you know, it's usually like the happy accidents happen then. Like for instance, like Auto-Tune, I was just watching this whole documentary about it. It was like, what happens when we just turn the dial like all the way? And it's like, it creates like this T-Pain type voice. And it's like, whoa, like that was not the intention of like Auto-Tune, right? Like the intention was just to like kind of like fix it a little bit, you know, for someone that can already sing, like, and just make it easier in the studio. And then it just became this like huge thing in hip hop. So it's just.
Was that the one on Netflix?
Yeah.
I think I watched that. Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, no, it's just those little moments that, and like I said, like, I like the fact that like being in a home studio with not a lot of super crazy gear is like more encouraging to like go ahead and mess up. And when you mess up, that's how you like learn and grow, versus like, because I've been in a professional studio trying to make a beat and record a song, and I feel like, ooh, like everything's so delicate, like I have to be careful and I have to do it precise and this and that. But like when I'm in my studio, I'm just like, this guitar is whatever, I'm just gonna, you know, like, let's just go. There's no limit.
Yeah, for sure. And I, speaking of also just like podcasting too, I did see that you did start a podcast. Is that still going on?
Yeah. It was kind of like a little project I wanted to do, but a lot of people ask about it, and I think I might, you know, continue it. It was just kind of like something I wanted to do. There's more people that I want to interview and kind of just pick their brains, but it's always like a time, you know, it's something that you really got to give your time into. So that was kind of just like the experience that I wanted to get, and if I have later time, I do want to like continue it. Yeah.
Sure. I do. Yeah. I do get a sense that like when you set your mind to something, you kind of put your all into it, you know, like with your music and just like going to school for it. Like it's just like getting better at it. So I think it's like when that time comes, I can imagine it's going to be like really special. If you had a dream person to interview, who do you think that would be? And what would be maybe the first question you would want to ask them?
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh man. I think what comes to mind is maybe, I think I would like to interview her if I like had to pick like a really big artist. And maybe the first question, the first question, man, I don't even know, man. I'd have to like sit and really think about it, to be honest, just because like, she's like crazy. Like I got an email, I think, about her like performing in Santa Barbara or something. That's like the closest one. But I'm just like thinking like, wow, would it be cool to just go there and like talk to her and like pick her brain? But I honestly can't think of a question right now, and I don't wanna like force it and give like a lame answer, you know?
Yeah. We can circle back, but yeah, what I guess about her would make, like, why is that the pick?
I think because she's so young and she's so like gifted. She's so like unique, and I like how she came in without like really wanting to share her identity, kind of like Sia, where she wants you to focus on the music and the story behind it and building a relationship with her listeners, but also like giving them lessons, telling a story, and progressing as her career progressed. I think that was like super cool. And the fact that she has, hella awards and like her song, right? She just goes. I don't know. It's just like a cool natural thing that I just like admire,
Yeah, there's just so much soul in her, and it's just like you just feel it. And that's also something I was watching a lot of live video performances of you, and you always stood out as like the best one in the video, like whether it was doing like a cipher or just a live performance. And part of that I think is too is rapping actually your own vocals and not like over your recorded vocals. I think that's very helpful, and it shows you really care. Like what I really get a sense of, it's like it just you are able to tap into that emotion, and I think that's like any cipher you watch on like XXL, freestyles or anything like that. It's the one that stands out is saying it in the most unique way to them. When it comes to live performances, did you put it like an intention of just like, I want to make sure when it comes to just a live performance, like I got this in the bag. Like do you feel like that? Or like, it's like, I want to make sure like I stand out. Is that a thought you have?
Honestly, no. Honestly, I like to be completely honest. It's like a lot of times I have self-doubt and I have a lot of like nervousness and insecurities. And honestly, the biggest thing for me is like I pray and I'm really intentional about like my music is being perceived and stuff, and how I'm being perceived and how I want people to take more than just what they're just hearing or seeing. You know what I mean? So I try to like, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a crazy person, but I pray like that God uses me as an instrument and whoever is listening, that whatever is needed is there for them. You know what I mean? So like when I'm trying to perform and stuff, I'm not trying to think about myself. I'm trying to think about how other people, whatever they need, whatever they're going through, I want them to get that, if that makes sense. It's a very spiritual thing for me.
Yeah, I definitely can feel that. It's definitely a very like selfless thing, where I think like hip hop can cater towards being a little, I mean, I guess maybe a little selfish, because I think that's needed, right? To kind of like maybe be like the best, right? Like just a little bit of like a little bit more ego that goes into it. But I do think like some of the most remembered artists, I think, do it in the way like you're saying, like Stevie Wonder, I think is someone that like, kind of, it's like he's doing it for everyone listening. And it's like when he's putting in, it's like you can just feel that. So that's definitely a more powerful emotion. If you are going to like just like a social setting, I've been thinking about this a bit. Like I always make sure like I have a verse ready to go. Like if it's just like if I'm meeting a stranger and I think like some it might come up like, oh, like he's a rapper, like it's like I want to make sure like I have something to back up what people are saying. Do you ever go into social settings like that?
To be honest, no. I sometimes like I'll try to prepare myself like, oh, like if I'm gonna go on a radio show or something and they're gonna ask me to freestyle, like I'll try to like think of something, but I really like to be honest that I'm a songwriter. I'm not a freaking some people get mad at me like, but I don't freestyle. Like I'm not good at it. I'm a writer. Like that's what I am. So if I'm gonna spit a written, I'll let you know. Just so you know, I'm not gonna be like, yeah, off the top of the dome, like blah blah blah. Like nah, I'll let you know. But I try to just be like myself, and if you don't like it, then whatever, I don't care. Like you're just one person out of a billion, so you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what I was saying. It was like, I'm the same way. I'm a terrible freestyler, but like I like to have something like I'll think to like, all right, what verses do I have written that could be cool to like, you know, just like do a cappella, just like for like showmanship.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess like if you're going on a radio show, that makes a lot of sense. But like, yeah, I do think there's something to just like a pre-planned verse that's just better for the listener.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have anybody in particular that's been like a favorite freestyler to you?
Eminem, for sure. I like Logic's freestyles. I know that some of them are like mixed written, so he'll freestyle and spit a written within it and just kind of shake it up. Those are the two that come to mind. Yeah, I'll just say those two for now.
Yeah. Is Fabulous an influence for you at all?
I mean, not really. I like his music. Like when I was like very young, I would listen to, you know, some of the radio hits, and then just maybe last year or so, I like was like, what happened to him? You know? So I just looked him up, and then I found like he had like some mixtape about like the summer or something like that. And I was like, ooh, this is pretty dope. So I'm kind of getting back into him and kind of just like learning about some of the artists that I used to like. And now I'm just like finding out who they really were, you know, or who they are and like what they've been through and how they influenced music and stuff like that.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is because Winter Heat, the artwork for it, kind of reminded me of Summertime Shootout. A little bit.
Yeah, but like I said, like I heard his mixtape and I was like, damn, like I don't know, but I didn't want to like I didn't try to steal it or something, but I was just
no,
like,
no, yeah, I could just I just felt like there could be an influence there. And I also mentioned that because like your song out now that I know is going to be on I think your new project, but Waste Time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of like So Into You a little bit, which to me would be like one of my favorite, like ideally that would be my wedding song if I get to be so lucky. And I know like, and to me, like that's what I was like, this is just a really great love song. But it's like, to me, it was just also nice, like coming from like a female rapper, just like that. It's just like a nice quality, just like happy, dope love song.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not out there as much from like a woman's perspective.
Yeah.
So maybe just could you tell me a little bit about just like the inspiration for that song?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie. I definitely I have I'm So Into You on at least three of my playlists, like on my Spotify. That song and like I like a lot of like the old early 2000s love songs because they're super simple. If there's a rapper on it, he actually like contributes to the song. He doesn't like go off and say some other stuff. And it's just super like easy to listen to, easy to dance to. Like you can play it with your grandma listening, whatever. There's nothing raunchy, or if it was, it's like a little like hidden. So I kind of like that, because that's the music I grew up on, you know, like listening in middle school and all that. So that's kind of like that influence of like, I don't hear that anymore. Like a lot of the music today is fun to listen to, but if you really listen to the lyrics, you're just like, damn, she said that on the radio? Like, oh, damn. Like, or it's just super raunchy, or it's just like guys giving their perspective on it versus like, if women are giving their perspective, it's just about sex. It's not really about love. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like, I guess the influence behind it is like, I just wanted to write a simple love song that's fun and that kind of represents that music that I grew up on, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, to me, that just like proves to me like how much of an artist you really are and how much you know yourself more. It's like, you know what you want to accomplish. You know what other people, it's like you're analyzing what other people are doing and being like, well, does that kind of fit what I want to do? No. So I'm not going to do that. Like, and I think that just like it, that in itself is like, it just shows your authenticity. Right. And it's just like, I do think like, yeah, I do think a lot of people I don't know. It's just a shame to me, I guess, that there's not more songs like this. More from like women MCs. Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, the only thing I can think of is like Lauryn Hill. Like,
right.
You know, I love her music, and there's like a few pop artists, but it's like today, 2021, like you go on Top Hits and the love songs that are on there are like a little mature. Like, you know, I mean, if you want to like hang out with a bunch of teenagers and that's what they're listening to, it's like, damn, I didn't listen to that until like later. Like, you're already singing about that. Like, you even know what they're talking about. Like, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like in the early 2000s, there was so much of it, right? And I guess maybe it got a little oversaturated. And now maybe we're like ready for that. Like, Let's Get Married, what was it, by 112?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there were a ton of, and then like Fabolous, obviously, like he had his whole like love tape. And certainly like R&B will always have that. But like Chance the Rapper was, you know, he put out an album, The Big Day, which was like all about his wedding day, which I loved like the concept of that, but I did feel like it was a miss.
Yeah, it was a little hard to get through. I like, yeah, like I said, I like the concept behind it, but it's just like it has to be approached, I think, the right way, especially like for new listeners too. And making, it's hard to like make something that is so used to be new. You know what I mean? Like, you really gotta think outside of the box, and you really gotta like take your time with it, I guess. I'm not saying he rushed that album, but for sure, like, I feel like nobody wanted to listen to that. Like, you know.
And that's why I'm like, is it more the latter, that just no one wants to listen to like positive stuff, which I don't think is true. But is it, or is it like, we definitely, most people are attracted to more negative emotions.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I honestly believe it's a, I don't know how to like say it, but like Logic, I was watching one of his interviews, and he's talking about that, where like, cause he makes a mix. He tries to make a balance of the negative that people like just eat up, and the positive. And he's comparing, like, he did an experiment about how he would just drop a single, and one that was like super positive didn't hardly do like a good amount of views, versus the super negative one where he is secretly talking about positive shit. He just makes it sound negative, where he's like Molly Molly Coker, like he's just like talking about drugs, but he's really like saying some real shit. He's hiding the pills in the applesauce. So I think to a certain extent, yes, a lot of people do like negative shit. And I've experienced this personally too, because when I first started making music, I would just rap about what I did. I just smoked weed, I rapped, and then, you know, boys. So like me changing my music, I did meet a new crowd that does appreciate the conscious, you know, storytelling and all that positive stuff. But I do get like weird vibes from people that I do interact with that do like that negative shit, and it's just like a weird acceptance. But like, you know, I think it's a battle between people and inside, but like there's room for both. But I feel like the negative shit really does just get portrayed more, especially in the mainstream and stuff like that, and you know, it's replicated so much,
right? And I, you know, in this conversation, I'm thinking maybe negative isn't necessarily the right word, but also like pain, right? Like, I think pain is such a universal feeling. Like,
yeah.
I was just thinking, like, I don't know if you listened to Olivia Rodrigo's album at all, but I listened to her album, and it was like, these are great songs. Individually, every song is so great. But then when you hear it as a whole album, it's like every song is literally about like heartbreak. And it's like, how much heartbreak really can you go through on a whole album? And I mean, like, if that's authentically it, like, you know, I'm so sorry, like, you went through that. But then at the same time, it's like, I do think it's like, that's such an easy, maybe an emotion to tap into, especially like heartbreak about like a breakup,
know,
that I feel like is so overdone. And where I feel like, you know, like being in love, it's like, it seems like more people are struggling to find love, maybe, than people that actually find it and have like a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, but it's like, and then we can just talk about like numbing, like drugs and stuff like that. It's like, okay, well, like, this is someone that gets like how I'm feeling, right? And I guess it's like, but we need more, I think, artists to be like, no, it's like, it is a balance, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, we should have a result. It's like, don't just numb yourself all the time. Like, you know, it's like, go to therapy. Like, I think more songs like that are only going to be more beneficial for, like, the general public.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. And I won't lie, too. Like, I like some songs that are just, like, super negative in the form of, like, I have pain and I'm dealing with it like this. But I do like those artists that say, like, I already know I shouldn't be doing this. It's not really helping. It's just for the moment. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain artists that will say that, like, Or they'll come out and say, like, I wrote this song because of this and I learned this. You know what I mean? Not just like promoting it like, yeah, like this is what I do. You know what I mean? There's a difference, and you can really like tell the difference between certain artists from that, you know?
I guess it's an awareness of self, like an awareness of your faults and awareness of your strengths, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
and presenting both. Like, we're just all human.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, again, like, yeah, right. And I think that's like, that's what Mac Miller had. That's definitely what you have. And then speaking of that, like, we talked, you know, a bit about the music you have out now, but I know you also have an album you're working on now, or it's going to be, it's done, I think, right? It's about to be released.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the follow up from Window to Window Side B.
And so what is first the significance of Window?
Yeah, so Window is basically a story of me telling you my life story only from the window. So like, I'm not inviting you into my house, but I'm giving you the picture of basically what you need to know and how I got out of it or how I found resolution. And then Window Side B is more of that, like you kind of coming into my living room and just being like, this is all the stuff that influenced me. This is who I am. This is, you know, look at my wall. Like, these are the pictures from my life. Like, that's kind of like the sense of what I was trying to create with both of these albums.
I love that concept of this is the perspective from just like me sitting. When you thought of that, was that just like a, whoa, like that's such a cool concept, or like, were you just, or did you kind of just, it was like, yeah, this is it. Or like, did you have the awareness of like, that's a really cool idea. And then that, you know, and that kind of just propelled it forward.
So it was actually inspired by just me thinking a lot. I, sometimes when I think, I like to sit next to the window and just kind of watch the world. You know what I mean? Like, I used to live on the other side of town where it's like super ghetto. There's like police all the time and just like it's just a mess. But I would just sit there and kind of just watch people and observe, like not to be like a weirdo, but, you know, like sometimes I don't like watching TV. So I just sit, kind of watch the birds fly and just watch whatever's going on. And I'm like, damn, like, this is like my life. Like, and what do I ever want to share? My life. Like, I never really like open up in my music, and I felt like I wanted to just be more open, but at the same time I'm very reserved. So I'm like, you can see inside my house, but from my window, like, I ain't gonna bring you inside quite yet. I don't know you that well, you know what I mean? Kind of like, yeah. That,
yeah. I mean, I think that's a very, in a sense, it's like that's the best way to deal with other people that you don't know. Right? Like, you need to put up, it's just like, yeah, like, here I am, but like, yeah, you're not going to just come in my house because you showed up, right? Like, so I think that that's a really interesting thought and perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of like, you're calling it Window Side B. Now, were these songs that were actually on Window and then you cut and now it's this Side B?
Some of them, yeah.
So what maybe stood out to do a whole other project versus maybe keeping it on Window as a whole album?
I think from like just listening to the songs and what I wanted to say at the time. I felt like the songs that I picked for Window, that's just like all I wanted the listeners to know and what they, I felt like they needed to know about me. And coming like from the other songs, I'm like, I like this song, but I don't feel like it fits what I want to say in this particular project. So then I took some of the songs that I pulled off Window are not even on Window Side B. So it's like, I'm kind of trying to like make sure that I'm very intentional with what I do, especially with my music and what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to, you know, share. So that's kind of like the, you know, what's behind it. It's like, okay, well, this is what I want to say. These extra songs, they don't really fit, so I'm going to put them over here. This would be a good Window Side B because I haven't completely said everything that I need to say. So it's kind of like that. It's like a continuation. Like, I still have more to say about this, and I kind of want to put it in that project for you, you know?
Love it. I noticed about like all of at least your albums on Spotify that most on average are about 7 songs. There's one album that you have like 15 songs, which was Silent Thoughts.
That actually has 22 songs, but oh, some 22. Of them I don't own the beat, so I couldn't put them gotcha. On Spotify.
So I love like a good 7 to 10 song album. To me, like that's like 12 at most, I think, is like, if, and I think cutting certain, like if you shoot for 20, cutting it to like the 8 best ones, I think is a great way to like put out music, you know, for the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of how you're approaching these albums, or like, is there, do you think about how many, when do you know, I guess, that an album is done and ready to be released?
Well, yeah, for sure. Like, I enjoy like a good album, but it's like not super dragged on. I guess like just now that I'm being more aware of myself as an artist and more intentional, I do like think about that, where I'm just like, okay, did I say everything I need to say? Did I cover every little topic or whatever, like in that realm of the project, right? I ask myself like these questions, then I'm like, okay, I feel like it's done. I feel like if I add any more, it's going to take away. If I take away, it might lose what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? So yeah, I do think about that. And also like, I guess when you say too much, sometimes it's just kind of like, okay, you already said that, you know? I guess like that, just like, if I'm trying to think of it as like a conversation with the listener, and like, you know, if you say too much, then the listener can't like process, you know, your thoughts, like in a conversation, you're just talking too much, you know?
Right. Less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I notice sometimes like I'll make like 3 songs and I say like the same word, or just like, or like how I speak, like a, just kind of like a similar type of sentence, or I'm like, oh, I feel like I just repeated that like on like the past 3 songs. And it's like, and then sometimes though, I think when it comes to like being your authentic self, it's like, well, let me explore that a little bit more, right? Like, why am I saying this like repetitively? It's like, well, maybe, you know, like that's just what I do. Like, you know, and I think there's certain artists that like, you know, get away with that, that it's just like, they just keep bringing up some of the same topics. So you mentioned like, did I say everything I needed to say? When an album starts for you, kind of what is that like, are you going through life and then you're just like, okay, like it's time for an album now. Or like kind of what is that, what speaks to you when it's like, okay, I'm in album mode. You know, or it's like, this is just a single, or what's kind of that compass in you that's like, okay, like this is what I need to focus on right now in my life.
Yeah, definitely. Living life. So like when I feel like I'm pushing myself too much, especially like creating music, then I'm just like, okay, I need to take a break and I need to live life and I need to you know, stop obsessing over this, which is not going anywhere. You know what I mean? So then I'll go through my life. I'll, you know, just enjoy whatever. And then sometimes a certain something will happen and I'm like, okay, I want to write about it. And then as I'm writing about it, if it's something like that kind of is like a weird repetition or something that I've noticed in my previous like experiences, then I'm like, okay, I want to kind of continue where this is going. Like, why did this happen? Or like, you know what I mean? It's like a weird like overthinking thing where I just start creating songs and I keep going and keep going. And I'm like, these all connect together. This feels like a project. This feels like either an album or a tape or something. And from there, I kind of figure out, okay, I want this to be a single or I want this to be an album. It's kind of just like after I have everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that all, are you doing that kind of like all in your own head, or are you asking other people like, hey, do you think this could be a project? Like maybe who's in your life that's been like your biggest support, you know, in your music journey?
Yeah, I would definitely ask other people what they thought, but I never would ask like, do you think this could be an album or a project? It's kind of just like, what do you think of this song? Where do you see it going? Would you listen to it? Do you identify with it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, do you get what I'm feeling? You know what I mean? So like, I'll ask feedback from only like certain people, really small, specific people. But I don't really like think like, oh yeah, do you think this could be a tape? You know, like, I don't think that.
Yeah. The people that you're sharing this with, like, are they good at being like, nah, like that's not it? has that happened where it just like was a complete miss and you're like, yeah, maybe I should rewrite that verse, you know, like what's that process like if it happens?
I only know, I would say maybe like, so I usually ask like four specific people. Two of them will be like, nah, that's trash, and then the other two will be like, oh, this is so good, but it's kind of hard. So I just kind of take why they think, why do you think this? Like, okay, you like this song, it sounds dope, but why? And then I'll try to compare their answers, because some people just say no to the song because they don't like that style, versus some people say no to the song because what I'm saying is like lame or it doesn't really translate how I'm trying to say it. You know what I mean? So I try to like, I listen to what they say, but I try to also understand and try to, like, I guess, challenge it myself too.
Yeah. In that same realm, what's been the best feedback you've gotten on your music or like, you know, like your life path?
Mm-hmm. I think that whole concept of being intentional, Somebody before I wrote Window, somebody was telling me that they really love my music and they really love what I talk about, but why am I so closed? Like if I'm like a reserved person, just normal, and I'm over here expressing myself, how come I'm also reserving myself? And why am I not expressing more? If this is my realm, I should be able to feel comfortable saying whatever I want, even if it makes me personally as a human uncomfortable. But as an artist, it should be something to drive you, you know? So I think that was probably one of the best feedbacks, is like, wow, like, you're right. Like, this is my form of expression and I shouldn't allow myself, Cassidy, to think I shouldn't say that because what if they don't like it, or, you know, like A, B, and C, just express yourself. And through the music, it's okay. It's like when a comedian is like saying a joke and it's super like inappropriate, but it's like, it's needed to be said, you know?
Right. What's been the dumbest feedback you've gotten?
I think the dumbest feedback was probably for waste time that I can think of off the top of my head was that it sounds too pop. It just sounds too pop and the auto tune just sounds lame and this and that. And it's like, but hella people like it. And you know what I mean? That's what you actually listen to. So why is it when I do it, it's lame? Like, but that was like the feedback. It was like, it's just lame. It's cheesy. But it's like, you're listening to this over here, like, and they do the exact same thing, but it's just different because it's me. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I always think people that do that aren't really listening and aren't trying to. It's like they want to keep you in a box somehow, right? And it's like they don't want to see you grow. And it's like, well, you're not. It's almost selfish. Like, you're not giving me what I want that I need. So that's lame.
Yeah. And right. no other further explanation. That's just lame.
Right. It's not, there's no like, yeah, actual like good feedback, like, you know, and it baffles me, people that are like that. But I do kind of also get where it comes from. And it's like, why don't you try to write a song? It's like,
right. Like, okay, well, at least I'm trying. Exactly. At least I'm experimenting. Like,
yeah,
you don't see other certain artists, like, they're just, they have that image that they want and they're just gonna like stick to it. Like, but if you look at some of the greatest artists, they're influenced by so many other things. They're so open to other genres, other styles, other like techniques of how they say something or a certain vocal effect that they use that just translates the song and takes you somewhere else versus just like, you know, just like straight cut. Like, it's like, I don't know.
So a question I like to ask a lot of people that come on is, out of all the songs that you've put out so far, if someone was to come up to you and say, what song depicts like 1 a.m. the most as a person, what song would that be?
That's a good question. That's a hard one too, because I have like so many songs. I would say like maybe right now that I can think of is either I Know, which is the one I just released, or I would say Window.
Okay. What about Ain't So Bad?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah. Ain't So Bad to me, like, that's what, like, that made me, like, a huge 1AM fan. Like, I heard that and I was like, man, like, this is so good. And and you were saying stuff in that, like, what was the line? So, like, everything be transacting through a screen. And I was like, I love that you said it that way, instead of be like, everyone's on Facebook too much, or like, you know, like, or on social media too much. And like the way, and like, I think that's what you're saying. It's like that kind of just like saying it in a different way. But I did think that that showcased so many different flows for you, and like, just like the melodies in there as well. But
no, yeah, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that.
One song I also had a question about, I think, was The Sun, which it's like super melodic, if I remember that correctly. Do you remember the process of like recording that song, and kind of just like how that came to be?
Yeah, I was actually working when I wrote that song. For a small minute, I was working kind of like out in the cuts. Like the outskirts of where I live, and I was basically just like a sign holder, and I was just like pointing people, you know, to like some like housing development. But I thought that job was like super lame, so I would just go chill in my car and I would just play beats and just write. And being out there in the countryside, you get to see just like the grass, you get to see like freaking hawks, and like there's just hella animals and stuff like that. And I'm just like watching people, you know, pass by, going on their way. And I found this like super R&B like guitar loop that I was just like playing over and over again. And I'm like, ooh, like, this just makes me feel like how I'm feeling right now. It's just like, I'm just looking at everything, and like all these people are just passing by me, and they're just missing this beautiful scene that we have here that's being covered up by freaking more houses. Like, I don't know, like that was like the thought behind it. It's just like I just want to say, like, I've been in love with so many things, and the thing that's the most like beautiful and important is just like life in general, like just being alive and just seeing, getting to experience everything versus just the tangible stuff. It's like something your spirit feels, you know? So that was kind of like how I was writing it. And I was just singing the part, you know, I fell in love with the sun. Like, I'm just like, that's what I was just like thinking. I'm like, damn, like, I'm just happy to be alive, even though I'm working this stupid job that I don't even care about. And I'm just watching people go by and just not even pay attention to what's going on. Like, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, I feel that deeply. I feel like sometimes we should have like a button where like there's certain apps that say like just breathe. Like, it's like, I feel like everyone should have that like as a notification, almost like when there's like a natural like disaster alert, right? Like, yeah. Or just like it's just like everyone breathe, everyone right. Pause, put your phone away for like 5 minutes,
right?
And just look up and experience the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love that. I hear that message in your music so much. And it's just really incredible. I can't wait for Windows Side B too, and whatever comes next after that. I think we're about ready to switch to the last segment, which is called The Authentic Shelf, which is just kind of taking something off a metaphorical shelf of just something in your life you've been authentically into, or something you've learned about recently that you feel would be cool for others to check out or know about, you know, whether it be like a song, podcast, a life philosophy, a belief, whatever it is to you. I'm just, yeah, very curious about what would be your authentic shelf pick.
Yeah. What I pick is something that a lot of people know, but I feel like we've forgotten as just being a human, is taking time to actually be in like the world. Like I said, I like to go out and enjoy nature. Cause I spend a lot of time inside making music on the screen, on social media, on YouTube, playing video games. Like, but I've forgotten how nice it feels to just go on a walk or go on a bike ride with someone, not on my phone, go out to eat, you know what I mean? Like, just experiencing life without worrying about the technical world and the internet and all that stuff. I think we've forgotten about that because it's, especially like with COVID, like everyone just inside, just stuck, like, but you can still go outside, feel the sun on your skin, just like, I guess not worrying about the things that don't matter. Like, I feel like we've forgotten that. And I think that's kind of like what I wanted to share, is just like remembering you're a human being. You have feelings, emotions, and you also have like a spirit within you connected to your surroundings. And you're more than just a consumer. You're more than just a fan. You're more than just this and that and whatever. You're just you. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's like something I wanted to share that's, I feel like, important for people to realize, because we get so, especially like in America, we get so like consumed with like our identity online and just, I don't know, just like things that don't matter. Like, one day we're all gonna die, not to be fucking negative, but one day we're all gonna die. And what did you just spending your whole time just like on social media? What did you do? Like, you know, watch TV all damn day. Like, go outside and experience something, you know?
Yeah, I definitely get that. That just reminded me of something, just like when you said like we're all gonna die. I mean, that is it, like, it does sound kind of almost morbid, but like it's true. And it's like, you don't want to be on your deathbed and think like, man, like, I did not appreciate my life. I was listening to a podcast episode, the podcast is called On Purpose with Jay Shetty. I don't know if you ever listen to that, but he was interviewing this guy, Brendan Burchard. And he says he asks himself every day, he's like, did I live? Did I love? And did I matter? And he's like, because that's what really matters in the end. He's like, did I do something that matters? Did I live? And did I love? And whether that's loving someone else or loving, or like showing self-love for yourself. And it's like, I think it's like, when we really do that, I think it's kind of answers more like what you actually want to do in your life. And it's like, what really matters? Like, it can just be like one thing. And it's like, you know, like I've been kind of in that area of just like, oh, I need to do something right now to make sure like I'm keep going. And then, or it's like, if I'm just like in this space of like, I have nothing to do, like I should be doing something. And I was like, wait a second. Like, no, like you have nothing to do. Enjoy the nothingness.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. It's hard though. Like, especially like nowadays, like we're all kind of little entrepreneurs. We all have like our following. We all have like something that we're trying to keep up. And it's just like unrealistic. It's just like, it's okay to be just chilling. Like, cause sometimes it's hard to chill. Like for me, sometimes I'm very like, I gotta do something. Like if I'm not creating music, I gotta do something. But sometimes like I'm pretty sure like I came across something where it's like your brain is more creative when it gets time to wind down and not put so, you know what I mean? Like you're not consuming stuff, but your brain's able to kind of just filter it out and then do its own thing for a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems counterintuitive. It seems like the more you put in, the more you should be able to put out, right? Like, but no, it's like sometimes the less you put in, the more space you have to think, right?
Yeah.
And on the same podcast, he was talking about like high performers and low performers. And the whole thing was like a lot of high performers that you would think are just like consuming, and then like not stopping are actually the ones that are able to know when to take like breaks that matter, right? And I think there's something to that. But I also think the pressure of being a high performer exists. And I think there's not a lot of people that are just like, yeah, taking this time like is maybe one of the most important things you can do for yourself. It's not just like being on Instagram and doing live videos for like 5 hours and just like nonstop. It's like you need to rest. But I do also think it's like, it's okay to be a low performer too. Like you don't need to be on all the time. Like I've been like adopting this philosophy of like, it's okay to be great on occasion. Cause like, that's still so much greater than most people, right? Like that most people just kind of like go through the day. Like if you're great at something, if you write one great song, that's one more song than most anyone will write in their whole lives.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something to be proud of and not feel ashamed about, like in this comparison culture.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Like just how much like life has changed so much and the way people like just value themselves and just really don't, I guess, acknowledge it. I feel like a lot of people don't acknowledge their authentic self. You know what I mean? I feel like they just kind of get distracted and just consumed in things that are just like, damn, like if everything just turned off and you're just by yourself, would you be okay? Or would you panic? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people need to ask that question. And real quick, just to throw in, earlier this morning, I watched a YouTuber named Curtis King. He does like a podcast too. One of his most recent blogs was a trip to the ER. Like he pushed himself way too much for creating and just producing podcasts, vlog, like just so much stuff. And he wasn't taking time to let his body like just chill, you know? So I think that's a pretty important thing. Just coming back to that, what you said is like, we really got to just recognize that, you know, it's okay to put out one thing, you know, it's okay to, we're all human, you know, we can't constantly be great all the time, like the media portrays it, like it's okay, you know?
Right. Yeah. And ultimately, I'm a firm believer in it's ultimately about the quality and not the quantity.
Yes. Yes. I think that's also something that's gotten forgotten.
Yeah. I like to also bring up a topic for the authentic shelf. I kind of like to try to relate it to who I have on. And, you know, the thing I connected to you the most about was just like actually how authentic your music was and honest it was. And there's been one person in my life that's kind of been like a moral compass in a lot of ways for me. And just because he's so honest. And I think I might have mentioned him as like a, I'm not sure if I, when I was doing this segment, I know I've talked about him on this podcast, but I don't think I've actually officially made this a pick, but the pick's not necessarily him. It's more of a show he has coming out soon, which I imagine is going to be spectacular. And I'm probably going to be a weekly, you know, watcher, like, and I just can't wait for it to come out. But Charlemagne the God, he's coming out with his own show. I don't know if you heard about this, but it's called The God Honest Truth. And it's going to be like a talk show on Comedy Central. So it's almost like in that daily, it'll be like in that daily show realm. And I'm just so excited for this to come out. Cause I just think like he has conversations kind of more like this. Like it's a, like, that's kind of where it's about quality, not so much quantity. And it's like, it's about council culture, not so much cancel culture, right? Like it's like, we need to be able to talk with each other, have honest conversations, I think, to not be so consumed by like everything else that's going on, to get back to ourselves more, you know? So I just seen so much growth in him. And like, and I think it's, to me, like, I love that it comes from a hip hop space, you know, cause I think a lot of like the social media and the ego does come a lot with like, with a lot of hip hop artists. It's like, and your art, I just think it's going to be so much better when you tap into like, who are you really? Right. And it's like having the craft down and then getting to know yourself, it's like, it's amazing what you can then expose to the world. So again, I don't know if it's going to be a good show. I can only imagine it's going to be great.
That's right.
The God's Honest Truth, which comes out on September 17th, which I know is the day after your album is going to be released, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I cannot wait for that week to listen to Window Side B and then watch The God's Honest Truth on Comedy Central.
Definitely.
It's going to be a great, great week.
Definitely. I know that he's the one who always like asks those uncomfortable questions too, like on the radio show. So I already know like it should be good.
Yeah. He has I usually just listen to his podcast mostly, called The Brilliant Idiots. I don't know if you ever listened to that.
I'll have to check it out.
But yeah, that's a good one. It can't like sometimes, it's the perfect title really for a podcast, because it's like Brilliant Idiots. It's like, because it's like we're not saying we know everything, but we know some stuff. And it's like, but we're not saying we're experts in it. It's like we're brilliant idiots. Like we're geniuses about some stuff, but then we're just idiotic, you know, about everything else. So it's kind of like that perfect balance in a sense of like what we were talking about.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Now, I know your authentic shelf pick, or, you know, your advice, I think, probably is similar. I usually ask also before I just let you go is just, do you have any last words of wisdom for the people listening? Which I do feel like it probably is similar to your pick. But if there's anything maybe like a life philosophy maybe that's gotten you through, just like in general, if there's anything that comes to mind in that sense.
I guess maybe kind of challenge people to rethink about what we're fed, which is so much of like self-love and self this and that, and not saying like self authentication and anything like is bad, but just like the whole like way our culture is about just like loving ourselves and just like what we want. I think it's important to realize that it's important to also care about other people and helping other people other than yourself, loving other people other than yourself, whether it's someone in your family or a friend or even a stranger. I think that's just something important that I want to just remind people, especially in art and hip hop. It's very easy to just worry about yourself and your come up, but sometimes, you know, sometimes other people are doing something way greater. And sometimes it's just important to just help them because they're helping other people too, you know? So, yeah, I just want to share that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that's sound advice. Mm-hmm. And then just before I let you go, also just where can the people follow you and also just listen to all your amazing work?
Yeah, I try to have like a nice little hub for everyone. So I have my own personal website, www.iam1am.com. All my socials are there. All my music's there. Vlogs and stuff like that. And you could just branch out to whatever you like, you know, Instagram, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. Yeah.
And yeah, your Instagram handle, I think is like the really funny.
Yeah.
So I think it's true, right? It's 1 a.m. somewhere, right? That's your handle, right?
Yeah.
All one word. But that is true, right? Like, it has to be so. 1 a.m. somewhere.
Like, my friend came up with that for me. I was like, I don't know what to put. They're like, it's 1 a.m. somewhere. I'm like, okay.
Again, just thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure talking to you, getting to know you more. And, you know, anytime you want to come back and chop it up, I'm always here. If you want to, you know, just promote some stuff or, you know, whatever it may be. But just absolute pleasure. I'm a huge fan and can't wait to see, you know, what comes next for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having like a podcast like this, because this is super important. And it's very interesting to hear like this perspective and like just super raw. So thank you too for having me. And I'm excited to hear more from you. And I'll be back.
Absolutely. Can't wait. All right. So peace, love, and happiness to you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you, and healthy.